This is an ABC podcast.
So we're here, the shake-up, the end of the week, but it's a bit earlier than normal because of the long weekend, and I could really get used to this, guys. G'day, I'm Dave Marchese, this is Hack. And look, even if you are one of the legends that's going to be pushing through with work over the next few days, thanks for doing that. But also, you can still celebrate with us here now the end of another huge week of news.
Hack. Honestly, I think people should vote that are even still in the womb.
What's the current WPI?
Well, Google it, mate.
That we should expect to see our airports not as efficient as they used to be.
Yeah, it's sounding pretty decaf out there.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we finally got that election called. The campaign didn't get off to the best of starts for either leaders, though. We'll get into that in a minute. But first, I've got to introduce our brilliant shake-up panel for the week. First, from Two Brownish Girls, the podcast, Talitha Tomanitokala. Welcome back to Hack.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Got big plans for the long weekend?
Just dinner with mates in Surry Hills on Saturday and then going to Eels vs Tigers game on Monday, Easter.
Hey, that's a nice
what
extra
sport
thing.
Is that?
NRL.
It's a bit of a balance of both. And you probably heard there, another shake-up favourite from the Hack intro as well. You're immortalised in the Hack intro. Have you noticed that before?
I know, and it just felt yuck.
You do it so perfectly. The one and only Kristen Wilkins. Kristen, pour me a drink. No, I'm just kidding. No SponCon on the ABC.
No worries. I don't want to drink anyway because I'm horrendously hungover.
Okay, good admission there. That's a bit of an in-joke. If you follow Kristen on social media, you'll know that he's always pouring people drinks and getting into good discussions. And we're about to kickstart a good discussion now. I want to hear from all of you listening as well. If you've got thoughts on some of these big topics of the week, jump into this craziness. We're always wanting to hear from you. Let's go.
Hack.
Do you know what would be a better way of showing that politicians are in touch with the need of everyday people? It would be passing laws that lift the minimum wage.
On Triple J.
Yeah, Greens leader Adam Bandt, they're getting a bit fiery when he was asked one of those gotcha questions at the National Press Club. And it's been a bit of a theme this week because we had Anthony Albanese kicked off his campaign with a bit of a blunder. Some journos started quizzing him about the unemployment figure, the official cash rate. And the opposition leader was left a bit stumped.
Hack. Anthony Albanese has apologised for his mistake after failing to identify key economic markers on the first day of the election campaign.
National unemployment rate at the moment is...
Under questioning, the Labor leader fumbled Australia's unemployment rate.
I think it's 5.4... I'm not sure what it is.
As well as the Reserve Bank's official cash rate.
It's proved to be a bit of a vulnerability, not only because the government are now kind of, you know, pursuing him on this, but also the media.
I'm human, but when I make a mistake, I'll fess up to it. I won't blame someone else.
Scott Morrison seized on the gaffe.
Off the top of your head, can you tell me the price of a loaf of bread, a litre of petrol, and a rapid antigen test?
Now, I'm not going to pretend to you that I go out each day and I buy a loaf of bread and I buy a litre of milk.
How many rapid tests have you personally paid for?
Well, I have to check with Jen because she's the one that goes and gets them.
You said in the speech that wages growth wasn't going particularly well. What's the current WPI?
Google it, mate.
On Triple J. Google it, mate. I want to know what you think of all this. Do you care if politicians are caught out and can't answer these kinds of questions? We had Scott Morrison quizzed about the price of bread and other staples earlier this year, as you just heard. He couldn't answer that. Is it important to you, though, or are you sick of the commentary and you just want to focus on the policies? For real, let me know. Call in 1300 055 536, or you can message as well 0439 757 555. Let's ask our shake-up panel, podcaster Talitha Tomanitokala and heir to the throne Kristen Wilkins. Talitha, first to you, Anthony Albanese's stuff up. What did you think when you saw it?
I feel like Australian politics is so chaotic at the moment that I feel like this is the least that they could do, right? Like the least statistics that they could know about the country if they do want to be the prime minister of this country, right? Like it's the least minimum knowledge that
you
could
have. Well, especially if that's like the backbone of what your campaign is on. Like economics is essentially what is fueling this whole thing. And I think that the Labor Party is very much coming from a backwards position where people don't necessarily know if they trust them as much when it comes to economics. And they've almost proved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Do you think that it's appropriate for journos, Christian, to quiz politicians, though?
I mean, it definitely feels to me like a bit of a stitch-up. It was such a pointed question that it did sort of feel like perhaps someone was on the inside knew that maybe he wasn't across all these things, and that's why it was pointed out. But I still think that it is important. As I mentioned, when, you know, the campaign is kind of built off the back of these economics policies and stuff like that, I think that it is really important that they actually know what they're talking about.
We've got some thoughts coming through. Somebody says, Adam Bandt, a superhero of a politician for the young. That's somebody there. And Adam Bandt was on Hack yesterday and talked about his kind of reaction to it, because it was a bit different to the other politicians. He was like, oh, just go Google it. What did you think of that when you heard that, Talitha?
I think it's the same for all parties. Like, to be honest, I think they all should at least know, like, have some knowledge. I'm not telling them, like, I'm not, like, saying they should know everything, but I feel like at least the three of them should at least know, well, like, what's going on. What's happening with the country.
From the journalist's perspective, I guess what they would say is, you know, unemployment's been at 4%, and, you know, the coalition's been banging on about that. The RBA cash rate is at 0.1%, and it's not changed since 2020. So that's kind of, like, it's not like it's been changing every week. It's not changed since 2020. So they're a bit surprised that maybe he didn't know that. But Michael from Brisbane says, who cares if he can't regurgitate numbers. Maybe you journos should focus on the substance and policy rather than pop quizzes.
I like that became personal.
I know. And I'm thinking maybe we need to kind of reverse this a bit. Maybe someone can ask me a gotcha question. If you've got a gotcha question for a journalist you'd like to ask, feel free to message in now. Give us a call, 1300 055 536. I won't know the answer to it. Do you think it tells us a bit about political leaders, though, if they're not in touch, like Christian, if we talk about the price of staples, Scott Morrison and not knowing the price of bread, do you think that tells us a lot about him as a politician?
Oh, to be completely honest, no. I mean, I wouldn't know what the cost of bread is. I can't remember the last time I ate carbs. that's a joke. You know, I think that stuff like that is something that I care much less about. I appreciate that it did feel like a big gotcha question to Albanese, but I think as well, like, you go to a doctor and you expect them to know what's wrong with you, or at least come with some answers. Not all of us know those medical facts. If you're a politician, there are certain things that you need to know that the general population might not.
Yeah, that's a fair enough point. We've got Ryan on the line from Melbourne. Ryan, what was your view on all of this?
To be perfectly honest, I think quizzing them on these particular prices is a little bit lazy in terms of trying to catch them out. I can understand that it's like a new tactic, but honestly, there are probably other ways, I think much more relatable ways that maybe the journos could actually do it in the same sense.
What do you reckon, Ryan? Are there questions you'd like to hear politicians asked? Are there like more important
absolutely.
Ones?
Well, there's some really important subjects that they're going to bring up in this election to do with in terms of retirement and disability and a lot of these other aspects that the journos should be able to research in terms of the actual policies. And I think if they relate that back to whether the politicians actually know and understand these elements, I feel like that's going to be much more poignant. I think because these politicians are surrounded by people, they've got lots of teams to tell them different information, I really don't think it's going to be helpful just to quiz them on these numbers, even if they are basic and they should know them. I think there are smarter ways to do it.
All right. Ryan, thanks very much for calling in. A lot of people backing you up on the text line. There's a lot of comments coming through. Somebody says there's a big difference between not knowing the unemployment rate and not knowing the price of milk. Mm. Somebody else, these politicians are just so good at talking shit and not doing anything. I'm over it. Make a decision. And Stevie from Newcastle says, I don't care if they don't know the price of bread and milk. They need to know the price of buying a house and renting. Let's go to another caller now, and Chris is on the line. Chris, what do you think of all this?
I just believe that the price of staples, you know, politicians knowing that sort of stuff. Barnaby Joyce sold a house for $67,000 the other day on Q&A before Jackie Lambie got up him. So It'd be nice if they knew what we're actually paying for the things that we have to buy on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Chris. And that was something that kind of raised a few eyebrows when Barnaby Joyce was on Q&A and talked about buying a house and it being under $100,000. John Howard's response was also pretty funny. I don't know whether you guys caught this, but initially he was asked about it straight after Anthony Albanese, you know, had this incident. And he was like, oh, who cares? Doesn't matter. And then 24 hours later, he was saying, oh, no, he should have known. I was a quick turnaround, wasn't it? But some political commentators are saying that's it for Anthony Albanese. Now he can't win after that. He's done so much damage to his campaign. Talitha, do you think it was a fatal mistake or that people won't even really remember in 6 weeks' time?
I literally think the way that everything works right now, everything that's going on the last 2 years in a pandemic, I think people will forget this in 6 weeks' time, to be honest.
I mean, I think that the Liberal Party will do everything they can to make sure people don't, but there's a long while to go, and I think that there's many opportunities for either side to kind of cock up again.
A lot of people are saying we need to focus on the policies, just the policies. That's what's important because there's a lot of other noise that goes around. It's like Scott Morrison got hit in the head by a basketball, blah, blah, blah.
Did he?
Yeah, yesterday. So you can go look that up as well. But I wonder if it was just focused on the policies, would there be as much interest? Does all this lighter stuff that happens around the campaign generate more interest from people who are maybe disengaged with politics, Christian? What do you think?
Look, probably, but I think realistically, at the end of the day, the fact that we're talking more about Scott Morrison's view on the cost of milk and less about his views on climate change, I think is ultimately destructive to like a whole society, you know? Like there are more important topics that we might need to be talking about, and sure, these lighter things might be the fluff pieces that get people in, but as long as we actually get to the point at the end of the day.
We've got more comments coming through. Jem in the ACT says the journalist was doing his job. Surely the politicians would expect this line of questioning. Whereas somebody else says gotcha questions are lazy journalism. They should be pressed and questioned on their policy details, objectives and expected outcomes. What did you think about how Anthony Albanese handled it? Because, you know, we saw the two different ways. We had Adam Bandt being like, oh, just Google it. We're not expected to know this. We had Anthony Albanese saying, hey, look, I don't know. I'm not sure. Talitha, did you have any views on that?
Well, at least he was honest that he was not sure. That's
and he apologised.
Yeah, like I feel, yeah. He didn't say Google. Oh, well, even that, like Google it, mates. Like, I don't know. And even that's not too bad to me, but I'm from Western Sydney, so I'm not really affected with like when people react in an intense way. So
yeah.
I think it's, yeah, I think it was fine. Like he at least admitted that he wasn't. Like he did know.
And have you been keeping track, Christian, of the election campaign so far? Like we're only a few days in, but another few weeks to go. Are you into it? Are you like, oh, I'm hooking in every day to see what's in there or?
Not particularly, but my stepsister is a reporter and she has been following ScoMo around for the past couple of days. So
she asked Gotcha questions?
She's got a couple up her sleeve sometimes and she's given it to him and I'm like, yeah, good for you. But yeah, it's not something that I'm necessarily glued to.
Have you got any gotcha questions? Do either of you? Do you guys ask gotcha questions yourselves?
None that I can say on radio.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the same.
It's probably, you know, when you're around people you don't like particularly, you'll throw a question out just to make them, you know, think.
You're really pretty.
Now, that's the ultimate gotcha question, isn't it? Somebody else says, ask them how much an aged care worker or nurse makes an hour and then justify that. And then somebody else says, when you become a resident of Australia, you have to do a test about Australia. You'd think that the PM would have known the basic answers, facts and figures. And I mean, and then we've got another text from John saying, asking Scott Morrison why he hasn't put an ICAC in, followed the recommendations of the Aged Care Royal Commission. These are real questions. And I wonder, we had Scott Morrison out today kind of backing down on like calls for this independent corruption watchdog at a federal level. Do you reckon it's just taking the attention off all of that?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely a lot of fluff around at the moment. Mm. And I think that it's, you know, not unusual to try and throw out a few distractions when there's actual stuff going on.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time to move on.
Well, why? Why do we stop at 18 or 16?
On Triple J.
Speaking of elections, there's a big push for first-time voters to get out there and vote and enroll to vote, sorry. And time's running out, so make sure you do it. It actually closes on Monday night, next Monday night. So if you haven't enrolled, please go do it. But there's also a push for younger people to be given the chance to vote. Teenagers and even young kids, kids as young as six, to make sure they get a say about their future.
Hack. When you're 25 or under, it often feels like politicians might not be taking you that seriously.
The younger generation, you know, like, obviously, we get older.
I think it's good to give, like, young people a chance to have a voice, I guess.
There are so many people my age or around my age who are so, so engaged in politics, more than, you know, some adults.
I don't think there's necessarily a need to lower the voting age. Then again, we also haven't learned enough. Like, we don't know enough. Like, maybe we should be educated. We should be educated about this at school.
How young is too young to vote? 17? 12? What about 6?
The fact that I could, you know, start driving at 16 but not be able to number a few boxes on a piece of paper is really interesting.
Honestly, I think people should vote that are even still in the womb.
On Triple J. Pretty young, eh? What do you think? How young's too young to vote? Should teenagers have the opportunity to vote if they want? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message as well 0439 757 555. With me to discuss our shake-up guests, Christian Wilkins and Talitha Tamanitokola. Christian, as a 14-year-old yourself, mm-hmm. would you like the opportunity to vote at some stage?
Yo, I'm just crossing my fingers waiting for those next 4 years when I'm 18. I definitely think that I could see moving it down to 16. That makes a lot of sense to me because I think that ultimately we have an issue with the lack of representation for young people and minorities in politics. And I think that a way to fix that is to have younger people voting because they'll want to see themselves in power. I definitely think that younger people are getting more educated and they're getting more involved in politics and they kind of want to be able to say what they think.
Yeah, and I mean, think about the things that people can do at the age of 16. We just heard there somebody saying, look, I can drive and I'm 16. You know, you can legally have sex. You can sign up to the military. Mm. Why can't they vote? Talitha, what are your thoughts on that?
I think exactly 16, like exactly what you said, like 16 is a great age. Like there's so much things that you can do. And I think like social media, like the rise of social media and everything, kids are more, they're more like knowledgeable about world events and everything that's happening and are more conscious of like what's happening in the world in comparison to like when I was 16.
Well, I mean like one of the world's leaders in climate action is like, how old's Greta? Like,
yeah, exactly.
16, 17.
Yeah. It's true. Talitha, were you excited to vote for the first time?
Yes.
You
I actually
were.
Really was excited because I had just turned 18.
Right.
Like on, I'm showing my age now in 2007.
Yeah.
So I was actually really excited to vote.
So you were heaps keen. You got out there.
Yes.
Your friends, were they the same?
Yeah, like my friends were the same. Like we'd all registered and because we had just all turned 18. It was actually fun. Like we thought it was fun. Our friends who were 17 thought, oh, that's so lame. Like, and we're like, no, it's exciting because we're like adults now and we can make like these actual decisions that are going to affect us like in the long run.
That's so funny. Christian, what about you?
No, I was the complete opposite. In fact, I was actually kind of naughty and the like cutoff period I was like technically in and didn't even register it initially.
Have you enrolled yet?
I enrolled because I found out a few years later that my like area that I was in, I could either vote for Tony Abbott or Zali Steckel, and I was like, okay, well now you like
and
I'm
then,
in.
Then you decided you wanted to vote.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, you know what else is interesting? Some of the because other countries have changed the rules. We've got countries like Argentina, Brazil that they've lowered their voting ages. In 2014, they had a big independence referendum in Scotland, and they found that 16 and 17 year olds voted at higher rates than 18 to 20 year olds, which was really interesting. So they were more engaged and wanted to vote. And maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe there's less distractions at that age, but they
I
were turning
I also think
out.
That, like, being in an educational environment, you sort of are having these conversations and you're sparking different topics and, you know, people really do want to be able to have their say before life kind of gets in the way a bit, I think.
Let's go to a caller. Ashley is on the line. Ashley, what do you reckon about young people having the opportunity to vote? I know you've been doing lots of really important stuff as a young person.
Yeah, that's it. So, hi, guys. So, I was a young ambassador for UNICEF Australia between 2018 to 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
And we ran consultations all over Australia. And it was really interesting because kids under the age of 12, they really wanted to vote. They wanted to give their opinion. And then if they were over 12 in their teenage years, a lot of them, like some were really passionate and other people just really had no idea what to do. So they were like, I mean, I could vote, but I'd probably just go straight to my parents and ask them what they think I should do.
Interesting point. Thanks for calling in, Ashley. We've also got Taylor on the line from the Gold Coast. Taylor, what are your thoughts on this?
So similar to Ashley, I was actually encouraged to speak at Government House in, or Parliament House, sorry, in Brisbane as a 12-year-old.
Oh my,
and
what?
50 students were all encouraged to speak. We had to make a speech and it was about climate change as 12-year-olds. And it was kind of something that we were looked at as being cute and, yeah, we got our voice heard, but we weren't allowed to vote, which I think is ridiculous.
Tokenistic.
Yeah. Taylor, thanks so much for calling in. And, you know, as we've just heard, there are so many young people at very young ages doing incredible stuff and thinking critically about really important issues. And these are the issues that are going to affect young people. Like, it won't be, you know, Scott Morrison or Anthony Albanese won't be the Prime Minister at, you know, 2050 when we're trying to reach those emission reduction targets. It'll be the young people today who are kind of like doing the work to get there. I don't know, should there be a cap on voting? That's the other thing that we get asked when we talk about this. People are like, I think that older people shouldn't have as much right to vote. Maybe when they get to 80, they no longer paying tax, they shouldn't be voting. What do you think, Talitha?
No, I think literally that's so intense. No, like I think there shouldn't be. I've never even heard of a cap on voting, like for the age bracket for after 80. No, I think anyone literally over 16 should be able to vote.
Christian, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen that meme of like the old man yelling at cloud, and I get it, but I don't think that we can realistically take away the right to vote for people who are over 80.
It'd be a bit ridiculous. Yeah. And there's a big
issue. You've made it this far, but no more voting for you.
Yeah, there's big issues affecting everyone of every age. Thoughts on the text line. Someone says, if you can have a job, you can vote. If you have a go, you get a go, right?
If you can pay taxes, you should be able to vote.
Yeah. Well, someone in the hack team was like, well, really, all people are paying taxes. Even a child, you know, buying a few lollies is paying a bit of GST. So they're technically paying taxes. It could be so simple, another person says. Opt in at 16, compulsory voting at 18. So maybe from 16, if you want to do it, if you're engaged That's and you good. Want the opportunity, you could do it. Otherwise, you don't have to bother until you're older. Somebody says, should just open it up to the age group that will turn 18 within the next elected party's term. That was Pat from Blacktown who said that. Do you think that there is a big difference in young people today compared to young people 10, 20 years ago? I mean, Talitha kind of said that before, but Christian, do you think that young people now are more politically savvy and smart, that they've got a better idea of what's going on in the world?
Absolutely. The access to information these days is so much wider than we had even 10 years ago. You know, talking to my 17-year-old sister, her view of the world and her understanding of what is going on elsewhere is so much broader than I think any of us would have had when we were her age, because I think that it's just literally on your phone now.
Do you reckon it would get more people interested in politics, Talitha? Like, do you think that would be kind of a good consequence of this if we got younger people to vote?
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing to get them, because I think already now, like, they're really interested in general.
And I think it would also lead to like a broader level of education in schools.
Yeah.
Like, why are we learning Python?
Yeah. All the mathematicians are going to text in now slamming Christian Wilkins. No, but I wanted to ask that, because do you think that in school you learn enough about like voting and politics and stuff? Like, I think about, for me, when I went to school in 1912, like it was completely different, and we didn't learn so much about politics, but when I got to uni we started to, and it was fascinating. Christian, what do you reckon about education?
I absolutely think that we need to learn more about politics, but I think that we also need to teach kids how to pay bills, how to apply for a home loan, etc. Like, there are just a lot of
taxes,
really
big
life things that I think that we're not teaching kids, and we just expect them to kind of learn on the way, and politics is definitely one of them.
Any limit on how young it should be? Because there are academics out there who we heard from this week who said, oh, six-year-olds should be able to vote, and the idea is that when it comes to democracy, why don't children count, and why don't they get some kind of a say when, like, why do we put, say, oh, you have to wait till you're older and you know more, when, you know, there are lots of adults who are completely disengaged with politics and don't know much. Talitha, the thoughts on a six-year-old voting?
Oh, because that's a really good point you said about a lot of adults. Because I mean, I know a fair amount of people who tell me that they, my like friends who don't watch the news because it's too upsetting. So there could be a 6-year-old out there who's watching the news proactively in regards to a lot. I think, but primary school age, I don't know. I feel like that's too young.
Very young, Christian.
Well, even as adults, I feel like we need to kind of do a bit of deep diving to get a full understanding of the policies of what our government stand for. And especially as like 6-year-olds, I think that you'd very much get surface level stuff.
Yeah.
Someone on the text line, voting age should be capped at 80. So Dave, that means you're out. That's AJ from Ultimo, a staff member at Hack, burning me right then and there on the text line.
Because the other leaders like Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese are being pretty decaf,
Yeah, that's me. That was me taking some new slang out for a test drive earlier this week in a political interview. Yesterday on Hack, you might have heard it and thought, what did Dave say? Decaf? Yeah, because this week on Breakfast, Lucy Smith asked listeners for a new word to chuck into Australia's vocab to make it happen, right? And the winner was decaf. Everyone voted for it. And it means someone who's a bit flat, lacking energy, dropping the ball. Come on, you're a bit decaf. I'm feeling a bit decaf today. Maybe, Christian, you're feeling a bit decaf today.
I am feeling a bit decaf. Despite me having a lot of non-decaf coffees.
I want to know if you've got some slang that you've invented and it's taken off with your friends. 1-300-055-36. You can message in as well. 0439-757-555. Really keen to hear from our shake-up experts on this. Talitha Tamanitokola and Christian Wilkins. Talitha, what do you think of decaf?
Yeah, that's a vibe.
Yeah, you
I
like it?
Yeah, I like that.
It's like kind of good. Well, as soon as I heard it, I thought, I am going to use it. And it started out as a bit of a novelty thing. I was like, oh, how many political interviews can I drop this into without the politician noticing? And then
start it's trying to make decaf happen.
Yeah,
It's not going to happen.
Guys, I made it happen, just like putting it out there. But as soon as I started using it, all these friends started messaging me going, I actually really like decaf. Decaf is a thing now. Have you got any words of your own, Christian, or do you like to invent words? I feel like you'd have some kind of language.
I like a bit of a shorthand with my close friends. I'm a big user of abs and pecs absolutely, which I then abbreviate to abs and pecs. But if I like throw it in too early in a like friendship, they're like abs and pecs. I'm like abs and pecs absolutely.
It's very Christian Wilkins word there. We love it. I'm always abbreviating. So when I was with the Breakfast Crew on Triple J Breakfast, we definitely had our own way of speaking, and I'd, you know, use a lot of letters, like GBD, give benefit of doubt. I'd be like, come on, guys, we need to GBD, give benefit of the doubt.
At what level is there, like, understanding of what these letters stand for?
No, I don't. I don't care what the level. I just start putting them in text messages. Like I put in OHWG, which means, oh, here we go. Like who would ever know that? But use it all the time. My friends know that I like to put endings on names. Endos, Anada, Atron. I can do it now. Talitha Nada, Christatron, Christendos.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you like it?
Yeah, a bit Greek.
Does it? Yeah, it is a bit Greek, that one. Does it annoy you when you hear people abbreviate or make up their own words, Talitha?
No, I like everything we speak. Like I mentioned before, I'm from Western Sydney, so everything is like shorthand anyway.
Yeah.
Like Parramatta's Parral. Penrith's like the riff, or if you're being creative, you'll say like Penn Vegas, like growing up in, you know.
If you're very creative.
Very creative. Like Mount Druitt's Mounty County, like, you know, there's different, like, so you always like shorthand in all the suburbs and like towns and everything. So I'm like used to it.
One of the best and worst feelings is when your word starts to take off. It can go one of two ways, because you start to hear it out and about and you're like, oh, this is amazing. I invented a word. But then you're sometimes thinking, did people forget that that was my word? Yeah. I invented that.
How very dare they?
Yeah, what happened there? I don't know. Do you think Christian Australians are just, this is what we do? We invent
absolutely
words.
We're a big fan of like very casual slang, aren't we?
We really are. Like everything's just slang.
It's slang. And you know what? I've got to wrap up this show-inator right now and head to the long weekend-a-tron because
it's the Arvo.
It's the Arvo. It's time to go. We've out of time. This always happens.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
It does. Thank you so much to our shake-up guests, Christian Wilkins and Talitha Tamanitokola. Thanks for coming on.
Hack on Triple J.
Special thanks again to our shake-up guests for this week, Christian Wilkins and Talitha Tamanitokola. And guys, can I ask you a favour? I need you to jump online and do Triple J's What's Up in Your World survey. It asks about all sorts of stuff, sex, relationships, politics, the environment, and it's really important to us because it means we know what matters to you, and it tells Triple J and Hack specifically what kind of stuff we should be covering. And sometimes it leads to some really big investigations as well. So it's really important. It's up for a little bit longer. Jump onto the Triple J website. The Hack page has it as well. What's up in your world? Do it this long weekend. If you're over the family, just log on for a couple of minutes and do it. And that's all we've got time for on the Hack Podcast for now. I'll catch you next week.